Hare Krishna, so we are reading today from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 7, Madhya Lila, chapter 7, verse 114 to 126, and 126 is, I believe, on the board. Is that 126? It is 126. Okay, let me find the verses. Just bear with me 1 second. Okay, that's 90. Okay, here we go. Always hearing them chant the holy names of Lord Krishna, the residents of all the other villages also became Vaishnavas. By hearing the holy name of Krishna, the entire country became Vaishnava. It was as if the nectar of the holy name of Krishna overflooded the entire country. After some time, when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his external consciousness, a priest of the Lord Kuma deity gave him various offerings. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mode of preaching has already been explained, and I shall not repeat the explanation. In whichever village the Lord entered, his behavior was the same. In one village, there was a Vedic Brahmana named Kurma. He invited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his home with great respect and devotion. This Brahmana brought Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home, washed his lotus feet, and with his family members drank that water. With great affection and respect, that Kurma Brahmana made Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eat all kinds of food. After that, the remnants were shared by all the members of the family. The Brahmana then began to pray, "O my Lord, your lotus feet are meditated upon by Lord Brahma, and these very lotus feet have come into my house. My dear Lord, there is no limit to my great fortune. It cannot be described. Today my family, birth and riches have all been glorified." This is text 126 now. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Brahmana begged Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "My dear Lord, kindly show me favor and let me go with you. I can no longer tolerate the waves of misery caused by materialistic life." So if Lord Chaitanya turned up here, would you all tell him the same thing? Like this Brahmana, Kurma Brahmana, was ready to leave everything and he was just ready to go. What if Lord Chaitanya turned up and knocked on your door and says, "Jagannath Charan Prabhu, let's go preach"? So you don't have to answer that. I know your family's here. But it's something to think about, isn't it? Purport. This statement is applicable for everyone. See, there you go. Regardless of how rich or prosperous one may be. Narottam Das Thakur has confirmed this statement. Samsara vishanale divanishi hiya jole. He states that the materialistic way of life causes a burning in the heart. One cannot make any provisions for the troublesome life of the material world. It is a fact that one may be very happy as far as riches are concerned, and one may be very opulent in every respect. Yet, one has to manage the vishayas to meet the demands of the body and of so many family members and subordinates. One has to take so much trouble to minister to others. Narottam Das Thakur therefore prays, "Vishaya chariya kabe shuddha habe mana." Thus, one must become freed from the materialistic way of life. One has to merge himself into the ocean of transcendental bliss. In other words, one cannot relish transcendental bliss without being freed from the materialistic way of life. It appears that the Brahmana named Kurma was materially very happy, for he expressed his family tradition as Janma Kula Dhana. Now, being glorious, he wanted to leave all these material opulences. He wanted to travel with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to the Vedic way of civilization, one should leave his family after attaining 50 years of age and go to the forest of Vrindavan to devote the rest of his life to the service of the Lord. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Melitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So first of all, I would like to seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas assembled here today and of all the senior Vaishnavas who are here to bless me so I can say something that could be relevant and interesting or slightly knowledgeable. I don't have so much knowledge, so I only repeat what I have heard from previous devotees and from Srila Prabhupada's books and a few of my realizations here and there. So, Hare Krishna. Okay, so this is a very interesting section of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya is traveling all over South India and he's just arrived at the house of the Kurma Brahmana. Does anyone know how long did Lord Chaitanya travel in South India? 2 years. Lord Chaitanya traveled around South India for 2 years. Then he came back to Jagannath Puri. He stayed there for a while. He tried to go to Vrindavan a few times. It didn't work. But eventually he managed. But 6 years is like his total duration of all his travels, including the ones to Vrindavan and other places he went. But after that he did not travel at all. He spent the next 18 years in Jagannath Puri. So he traveled for 2 years, okay? And on foot, no buses, no shoes maybe, just a kamandalu and for water and some clothes and kopins and stuff like that. I went to India once. There are still places you can go in India where you can travel for free and they'll let you stay as well. When I went to India many times, and sometimes I would get into trains without a ticket because, it was in a hurry. Usually I try and book, but sometimes I wouldn't. And I know one occasion I got into a train and didn't have a ticket, and it was packed. And I was sitting in the floor, and the ticket checker came. And he goes, "What are you doing on the floor?" He goes, get up, Swamiji, please stand up, Swamiji." And then so there's some guy sitting on a seat. He goes, move. And it's like in India, it's just they just treat you like, okay, get off, move. And then you just move the guy. And I'm like, no, it's okay. He goes, move, make some space, sit down. And then I was in Udupi traveling and I met another guy. And he was just a traveler, like a mendicant. He wasn't from ISKCON or anything. And he just came running to me. He came, Prabhu. I said, what's going on? He said, how are you? He goes, I haven't seen a sadhu here for a long time, so I thought I will speak to you. I said, I'm not a sadhu, man. I'm just visiting here. There's so many sadhus in Udupi. He goes, yeah, but you're in Saffron. I haven't seen people in Saffron for a long time. This was a while ago when I was in Saffron at some point. And I said, what's going on? Where are you going? And so he told me, he gave me a whole list of places. He said, you can go to these places. He said, they'll let you stay for 3 days for free. They will feed you and they will give you Lakshmi before you go. And he had a whole list, and that was his circuit. He used to travel all around India to all these places. He would stay there 3 days, eat, take some money, go to the next place. So he had all these places all around India. Still there. This was just like 2-3 years ago. I went 2018, I think. 2018, yeah. So you can still go. So Lord Chaitanya used to travel everywhere. And in those times, people respected travelers, especially sannyasis. They would invite them into their house and feed them. And at this point, Lord Krishna in the form of Lord Chaitanya. What am I saying? I woke up late this morning. Lord Chaitanya arrived at the house of Kurma Brahmana. Now, he had a special preaching technique. Does anyone know what that preaching technique was? which is spoken about last few verses. If you remember from previous classes, I know it's been a few months because we only do weekends. He had a special preaching techniques which Krishnadas Kaviraj mentions here. He said, I'll not repeat it again because I already said. His preaching technique was, he had a song. Does anyone know that song that he used to sing? Lord Chaitanya used to sing a song. Haraya Nama Krishna. Yeah, there was a verse. There's a special song. It goes like this, and we can all sing it if you want. It goes, Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshamam. Krishna, 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 Pahimam. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahimam. It's a good song, isn't it? So Lord Chaitanya used to sing it wherever he went. And then he used to meet people and they would just be enchanted by the beauty of Lord Chaitanya. They would be attracted to the sound of the holy names and they would start following him. So they may be doing other things, they may have gone out shopping or whatever, you know. Or maybe they're traveling to work, but as soon as they saw Lord Chaitanya, they would forget everything and they would start following him. And they would start singing the same song. And they would follow him for quite a distance. And then he used to stop and he used to embrace everybody. Okay, he used to give everybody a hug. So this tradition of devotees hugging starts from Lord Chaitanya. Okay? So hugging is okay amongst devotees. If you do it out there, it feels a bit strange. People are not used to hugging, but devotees hug all the time. So Lord Chaitanya used to hug them, and it's said that when he hugged them, they were empowered with spiritual potency. And Prabhupada calls it bhakti shakti. Okay, they were empowered with bhakti shakti. And they would just go mad. So Lord Chaitanya, when he would travel, a lot of people thought he was mad, because he used to chant in ecstasy, and he used to go into the state of ecstasy that he would lose all external consciousness. He wouldn't know where he was going. He wouldn't have any idea of what's around him. Heat, cold, hunger, nothing. Okay, he used to be so enchanted. And we used to sing. People followed him. He used to embrace them. And then they used to get the same sort of feeling. And they would go into ecstasy. They would start singing. And they would go back to their villages. And Lord Chaitanya would say, okay, go back now. Okay, job done. Go back. So they would go back to the villages. And then everyone they saw, or other people, when they saw them, they would get the same feeling and they would also start chanting. So it spread like wildfire, you know, from them. And then people from other villages, when they used to visit him, or visit these people who were now empowered with bhakti shakti, and see them, even they would go into that state of ecstasy. And then they would go back to their villages. And then the other people, I mean, we could go on all day, but that's how it spread. So you would think that how could one man preach all over India and turn the whole of South India into devotees? I mean, of course, he was Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he was playing the role of a devotee. Okay, so he's trying to tell us. And the message I got from this is that what Lord Chaitanya did as part of his preaching technique was, he didn't just create devotees, he created preachers. Okay? He created preachers. So sometimes we think we need to travel all over the world and we need to make everybody a devotee, and we're like crisscrossing everywhere, traveling. Well, not that we do that, but if you had to do that, that would be a lot of travel and it would seem practically impossible. Okay? But if you think about it, here's a technique. Okay? I want you to think about it. It's simple maths. Okay? Say you make 10 preachers in your whole life. Okay, you preach to 10 devotees, just 10, wherever you are, whoever you come across, 10 people, but you make them preachers. Those 10 people go and make another 10 each. Because they're preachers, they're going to do the same thing. So how much is that? That's 100. And then those 100 go and do the same thing. Okay, how long is that? How many is that? That's 1,000, right? Say if everybody takes say, I don't know, how long does it take to make 10 devotees? Let's say you just make 10 devotees in a lifetime. Okay, that's it, just 10 devotees. Doesn't sound too difficult. I mean, it is difficult, but let's say just 10 devotees. We don't need to travel everywhere, all over the world, but just make 10 preacher devotees in your lifetime. So in like 2 or 3 generations, just you have made 1,000 devotees. And in ISKCON, I would say there are about 100,000 initiated devotees. Okay, it was 75,000 a few years ago. I would assume it's gone up to 100,000. So 100,000. Out of the 100,000, let's say if all 100,000 make 1,000 devotees, then it's going to be 100 million. Is it? 100 million. If only 10,000 of those, then it's 10 million. Only 1,000 of those 100,000 devotees make just 10 preachers, then in a lifetime you'll have 1 million extra devotees in the Hare Krishna movement. It's a great philosophy, isn't it? I mean, it's just mathematics. I'm not sure it'll work or not, but statistically it should work. Instead of us going around and traveling everywhere and trying to make so many devotees, you just need to focus on 10 devotees in your lifetime. We're not even saying 1 year. So in your lifetime, so maybe you make 1 devotee every 3 years or something, which sounds reasonable. Okay, one devotee every 3-4 years who is a preacher and who goes on and does the same thing. Then within a lifetime, within your lifetime, or maybe, you know, a couple of generations, you'll have 1 million extra devotees. Okay, statistically, that's a very good way of doing it. But that's what Lord Chaitanya did, and that's how, in a very short time, just 2 years of traveling, and he converted pretty much the whole of South India into devotees, because he made preachers. Everyone he gave Krishna consciousness to also gave Krishna consciousness to somebody else. And Srila Prabhupada also imbibed the same mood. And if you remember in the beginning days of the Hare Krishna movement, in the 70s, 60s, 70s, everybody was a preacher. Srila Prabhupada used to... you joined the temple and you used to go on books, or you do Harinam. That was it. Okay, there was nothing else. Jayadvaita Maharaj told me that in those days... Well, he didn't tell me. He mentioned in a class. I don't know why he just called me and tell me. But he was saying in those days, he said, we used to go on Harinam. Okay, everybody would be wearing saffron. They would go on Harinam, so you'd see a sea of saffron devotees doing Harinam. And then some guy is vaguely interested. Maybe he starts singing along the Harinam like they do today. They would grab him, stick him on a bus, come back with him. Okay? There would be somebody at the temple who would shave him up, put saffron on him, and in the afternoon he would go out. Okay? Okay, same day. Okay, he would go out same afternoon on Harinam himself. And then like that, there would be so many devotees. Not all of them stayed, but at least we saw a whole sea of saffron, which has since disappeared, because I think Paramakaruna insists that people should be in the ashram for at least 3 years before they take saffron, which is a good idea, Paramakaruna Prabhu, but we don't see a sea of saffron anymore. I think people should get saffron the same afternoon. Anybody on the Be a Monk course? Who's on the Be a Monk course? Everybody just put saffron on. I mean, people change anyway. Look at me, I changed anyway. Most people change anyway. Might as well change early, but at least they wear a bit of saffron. Yeah, this is my thoughts out there. Or maybe yellow. What do you think, Paramakaruna Prabhu? Yellow, because then there's no... You can't really tell the difference between people who are staying in the temple and people who are staying outside. So maybe there is a yellow for the temple. Maybe there is a saffron later on, and people who wear outside wear white, yellow, blue, green, whatever they want. Anyway, just a thought. But the idea is that we should work on making more preachers. We are making devotees. We're trying to make devotees. But we should focus on sharing Krishna consciousness. And this is a very special month, as you all know. It is the book marathon. Okay, which started yesterday. How are we doing, Ian Prabhu? Do you know this course? Don't tell me this course now, but I'm just saying that it started. So that's a great way to distribute books and share Krishna consciousness. But also, whoever you share it with, ask them to share. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, during his time, he had a lot of preachers. And you might think that he opened, I mean, of course, he did open 64 Gaudiya Mutts all around the country, and the movement spread far and wide under his jurisdiction. But sometimes you may think that he had a whole army of sannyasis who used to travel and preach. Do you know how many sannyasi disciples he had? Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. 18. That's all. He only initiated 18 sannyasis. But he had a system that he would look after the 18 sannyasis. Each of the 18 sannyasis would look after 10 people who were like the leaders in their sort of area. And those 10 people would look after 100 people each in the congregation. And so he had a whole system. 1, 10, 100. Same thing like Lord Chaitanya did. Same way Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj also had that system. So only 18 people, only 18 sannyasis traveling everywhere and preaching, but he established 64 centers. And during Srila Prabhupada's times also, same thing. Prabhupada didn't initiate so many sannyasis. There were quite a few, but not so many. I don't know the number. Does anyone know the number? How many sannyasis did Prabhupada initiate? No? But in Prabhupada's time, everybody used to preach. If you read the early days of the Hare Krishna movement in England, when the when the three couples came along with Saraswati, even they wore saffron, even though they were married. They'd shave up, put saffron on, go out on the street and do sankirtan. Okay, so anyway, saffron's a great color. I'm just saying, in case someone's interested. Okay, so like that, but we should focus on making preachers and sharing the Krishna consciousness movement. It's a chain reaction. It's an exponential chain reaction. Okay, now sometimes people may think, well, how can I preach? I haven't stayed in the ashram. I don't have time to distribute books. But the idea is that sometimes we think that there's only three ways you can preach in ISKCON. Okay, book distribution, Harinam, and Sangha programs. Okay, we think if you can't do these three, then you can't preach. But you can invent your own innovative way of sharing Krishna consciousness. Did you know that at Srila Prabhupada's times, before his time, nobody used to be out on the street doing charity work? Like when you go into, you know, Watford or other places, you see people from different charities stopping people and trying to get them to sign up. That started after ISKCON, after the devotees went out distributing books on the street, and other charities saw that it was successful, they decided to adopt the practice. So the whole charity thing on the street was started by Srila Prabhupada disciples who were distributing books. That's where the idea came from. It was an innovative way to share Krishna consciousness. Nobody had done it before. It was invented by the devotees. Okay, Lord Chaitanya also invented Harinam Sankirtan. It wasn't done before. People didn't used to go out in congregation, in groups, and chant outside. It was his innovative way of preaching. But it's become like the norm now. But the idea is that you can also invent things. You may be good at something, and it may not be book distribution or Harinam, but you may be good at something, and you can use that something to invent your own way of sharing Krishna consciousness. And let me tell you, everybody is good at something. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Gauranita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So everybody is good at something. In the Christian philosophy, there is something called, they say everybody has a God-given gift. Okay? Everybody has a gift. Doesn't matter who you are. Everybody has a God-given gift. And you have to find it. And you can, if you do that, then you'll be happy in life. That's what they say. It's not your passion. Okay? Your passion may not be your gift. Nowadays, there's this whole thing, yeah, follow your passion. And pretty much everyone's passion is the same nowadays. You know, just make lots of money, be famous. It's like, how can everybody have the same passion? But they say, follow your passion, whatever you're passionate at. Whereas in the Christian philosophy, they say, don't follow your passion. You may not be so good at your passion. Your passion may not be your gift. You may be running away from your gift, trying to chase something you're not good at, and trying to be something you can't be. And you may spend your whole life doing that. They say, follow your gift. Okay? And what is your God-given gift? Does anybody know? How do you know what is your God-given gift? Everybody has one. It's like a belly button. Everyone's got one. Okay? Everybody has a God-given gift. Okay? Do you know how to recognize your God-given gift? It said, what's that? What you're good at, it's something that you're absolutely wonderful at with the least amount of effort. It just comes naturally to you. You're just good at it. It may be running, it may be talking. I mean, I can talk. Okay, I don't like talking. I would rather just sit and read or, do something else all day and stay away from people. But I can talk, and I can talk a lot, and I will talk. And if I don't talk about Krishna, I'll talk about something else. I'll talk about movies, but I would rather not. So I talk about Krishna consciousness. So it's my gift, and I can use it to share Krishna consciousness. Even something as simple as talking can be a gift. Okay. In the beginning of lockdown, I started running. As in, not running away from things, but running as in, because, a lot of people took up running during the lockdown, so I thought I might give it a try too. So I can run about 5-6 kilometers now and then. I do it once or twice a week. It's not a big deal. Anybody can do it. But there's a few devotees we realized who've been doing this, who've been running in the lockdown. So a few days ago, we all met up online, and there's a good 12 to 15 devotees, okay, who just go running, and we decided to just come together and form a running group, a running club. So now there is a Hare Krishna running club. And then we're brainstorming ideas of how you can turn a running club into a preaching avenue. You can run for peace, okay? You can get people to join your club, you can set temple charity runs, you can do lots of things, but something as simple as running, which you're good at, you can turn that into a whole area of sharing Krishna consciousness. It's a new way to do it. We haven't worked out the details, we're working on it, but all I'm saying is that just because no one's done it before doesn't mean that you can't do it. Just find what you're good at. If there's anything you get from this class, try that. Go home and think about it. Think about what is it that comes to you that you can do amazing, that you're really good at, but with the least amount of effort. It just comes naturally to you. What is it? Think about it. And then see how you can use that to share Krishna consciousness somehow. It may be painting, it may be, I don't know, it could be anything. Okay? So think about it. Okay, Runners Club, that's an idea for you. If you want to join the Runners Club, let me know. Let me know. Okay. Now, what other things are there in the purport? Okay. Another thing that happens in the purport is that when Lord Chaitanya visits the Kurma Brahmana, he does a few things. Okay, he wants the mercy of the Lord. In order to preach, we all need the mercy of the devotees. Without the mercy of the devotees, it's difficult to preach. You need the mercy. It's just technique won't work. Okay? Your gift is good, but at the same time, if we are empowered by the Lord, it works a lot better. And we get the mercy of the Lord and the mercy of the devotees in a few ways. Can anyone tell me some ways in which you can get the mercy of the devotees, get the blessings of the devotees? How would you do that? Yes, but Vishal Prabhu. Just a glance. They just look at you. Or you look at them. They look at you in a compassionate way and then you get the mercy. Yeah. Yeah, could work. Could work. Anything else? Associate with them, yes. Because, it said actually if you want to develop Krishna Prema, that's the way you do it. You can't just develop it by practice. It has to come from somebody who already has it. That's the way you develop Krishna Prema. So if you think you're going to practice Krishna consciousness really well by practicing all the rules and regulations to the max and become Krishna conscious one day, that's not our philosophy. You get Krishna consciousness by serving devotees who have Krishna Prema. That's how you get Krishna Prema, by associating and serving them. Yeah, so that's definitely a way. Another way, how you can make progress, how you can get the mercy of the devotees. What's that?
Instructions,
yes, serving their instructions. Try and serve them, try and ask them, how can I serve you? But not just ask them just because you meant to. I know sometimes people ask, Prabhu, how can I serve you? And I tell them something and they go, no, I'm busy. Yeah. But I was asked to ask everybody, how can I serve you? So if you ask somebody, how can I serve you, you have to be genuine. Don't ask them unless you're ready to do whatever they tell you to do. Don't go to a sannyasi who is visiting your temple or your house and tell them, Maharaj, how can I serve you? Don't ask them that unless you're ready to do whatever they ask you to do, okay? But it's a good way to do it. If you are surrendered, that's the way to do it. You have to serve the devotees. There's a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita which comes later on, which says, Bhakta pada dhuliyara bhakta pada jal bhakta bhukta avashesha tina mahabal. So there's three things. Tina mahabal. There are three things that are really, really powerful in getting the mercy of the devotees. Bhakta pada dhuli. Anyone know what that means?
Dust.
Dust from the lotus feet of the devotees. Bhakta pada dhuli ara bhakta pada jal. What's that? What's bhakta pada jal? Water that you have received by washing the lotus feet of the devotees. And bhakta bhukta avashesha. Yes, the remnants of the foodstuff that has been offered to the devotees. So these are three powerful things. And what the Kurma Brahmana did here was he invited the Lord to his house, and Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami said he made him eat all sorts of foodstuff. Okay. He made the Lord eat different types of things. Sometimes devotees do that. They intentionally put so much food on your plate you can't eat. So you have to leave remnants behind. So you see that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as well. Whenever Lord Chaitanya Nityananda comes, okay, Advaita Acharya just puts so much stuff on their plate, like it said, mountains of rice. He made Lord Chaitanya eat lots of stuff and had the remnants. He's washed his feet. He took the water and he drank it. This guy was good. Okay, he knew what he was doing, the Kurma Brahman, and he got a lot of mercy from Lord Chaitanya. And then he said, what did he tell him when Lord Chaitanya was leaving? He said, take me with you. He said, take me with you. I'm suffering in material existence. But what's interesting is in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, well, looks like he was actually quite happy. Okay, Prabhupada writes that in the purport. Where is it? I won't find it now. But Prabhupada writes that the Kurma Brahmana was actually quite well off, and he was actually quite materially happy. But still, he wanted to leave all that behind and join the Lord, because transcendental bliss is something else. You may be really, really happy materially, but it is nothing compared to transcendental bliss. Okay, you may not have experiences. That's why you may think, okay, there's not much to it. I'm happy where I am, but actually, It's something else. But in the Bhagavatam and other places, it also says that there is really no happiness in this world. What we experience is not really happiness. It's something else. Okay, it's not happiness. It's something. I always quote this story by Ranchor Prabhu. And I was at a retreat once in Buckland Hall, and Ranchor Prabhu was giving the talk. And he said he was once in the audience when somebody asked Srila Prabhupada a question. And Srila Prabhupada would pick out people from the audience, devotees, and he would say, why don't you answer? And it would be a scary moment, like trying to answer somebody's questions in front of Srila Prabhupada. And in this instance, somebody asked Prabhupada a question, and he picked on Ranchor Prabhu and said, will you answer the question? And he was like, okay, here we go. And then he didn't know what to say, and so he thought in his mind, you know, his thoughts are racing very fast, but you know, he comes up to a conclusion. He says, let me just open my mouth and start speaking, see what comes out, and eventually it'll lead to the answer. So he started off saying, So in this happiness, in this material world, there is happiness and there is suffering. And Prabhupada stopped him and said, No happiness, only suffering. So the understanding is that we may technically look like we're happy, okay? But according to the spiritual standard, that is not really happiness. Prabhupada also writes that for getting a little bit of happiness in this material world, we have to put so much effort. You know what my biggest realization was after I left the ashram and moved outside? Is how long it takes to actually get some food on your plate. Okay, somebody has to go and buy vegetables. You have to pay. To pay, you need money. You need to bring the vegetables back. You need to, you know, peel them, chop them, cook them, add spices, offer it, put it on a plate, and then eat. And the whole process takes a good, like, 2 hours. And in the ashram, I never realized. I thought food just came from somewhere. And because in the ashram, it was, you know, brahmachari, you know, brings a bucket, whoever's on the transfer schedule, would bring a bucket of prasadam, and I thought that's where it came from. Prasadam came from buckets. And you just eat. And there's no queues. It's just, you get your plate and you just eat. But when you go out there, you realize just to eat something, you have to go through so much effort. And if you want to go to Tesco's and buy something, then you need to work. So just for something so simple, okay, there's a lot of effort that goes. People spend a lot of time, a lot of effort, working really, really hard. I know some of my friends, they're really, really motivated. They travel here, there, and everywhere, and they're like so stressed out, so they can rise to the top of their game and make good money so that in the weekend they can enjoy. We know all this stuff. But there's a lot of effort you actually need to put, even if you want to enjoy materially. And it's not all that. It's not all that. So spiritual happiness is different. You don't need to put so much effort at all. Isn't it, Paramakaruna Prabhu? Brahmachari transfer, prasadam's there, you eat. Sorry, I don't know why I'm just mentioning you today. But So like that. So a lot of effort goes into just material enjoyment. Just to simply enjoy, it's a lot of work. Whereas in spiritual life, it is said that if you want to be spiritually happy, you don't need all of this material stuff. And hence, what the Kurma Brahmana said was, okay, I may be materially happy, it may look like I'm happy materially, but let me leave this behind and join you, because I just want to serve you. So that's what he wanted to do. I can assume his wife and children were probably around as well when he said that. And he said, I want to leave. And Prabhupada writes that at the age of 50, everybody should take a break from their sort of family life, or should at least go away from family responsibilities, move away from family responsibilities and shift to sort of Krishna responsibility at the age of 50. Because we cultivate a lot of attachments in these years. We cultivate a lot of material attachments just to be happy. All the work we're doing, all the family, money, houses, everything we accumulated. So at some point, we need to learn how to start, what do you call, detaching ourselves from these things. And then that's called vanaprastha. And Srila Prabhupada writes, for us, vanaprastha means, he writes at the end, where is it? He says, where is it? Just give me a second. Yes, there we go. According to the Vedic way of civilization, one should leave his family after attaining 50 years of age and go to the forest of Vrindavan to devote the rest of his life to the service of the Lord. Okay? My understanding is leave family means at least to not leave family responsibility, in the sense that I've seen a lot of vanaprasthas who travel with their wife, but at least they're not responsible for maintaining the family. Children are grown up, they're looking after the family, and they're kind of on their own, so then parents are free to travel. So at least we should take more spiritual responsibility. One step, that could be one step, step in the right direction, that maybe we take more spiritual responsibility after the age of 50, and we dedicate more and more time to preaching and sharing Krishna consciousness. There's been some amazing examples, like a lot of devotees I know. I won't name them all. Radha Vinod Prabhu. If you know Radha Vinod Prabhu, he at one point he just moved. He was just serving here full time. And please send your prayers to him. He's not doing so well at the moment, although he's recovering. But yeah, amazing examples. And we have had so many examples in our community itself. Shruti Prabhu, even though he was married, but he was here most of the time. I remember during field work, when just before Janmashtami, that's another thing, Janmashtami takes a lot of effort setting up. And the brahmachari slot was 10 to 3 in the morning. We would be all out on the fields setting up for Janmashtami, and then 3 o'clock we'd finish, take prasadam, and then later on in the afternoon the congregation would come and they would help till like 10 o'clock. But remember, Shruti Prabhu would be there with us. Okay? He would be there lifting the pallets and helping us all day with the brahmacharis. He would take lunch and then he would go back out. Okay? And then he would be with the congregation, helping set up. And then he would even take prasadam, speak to them, preach to them like that. He would go home at midnight, and then he would be here in the morning, 5 o'clock, every single day during Janmashtami. It's just, that was his schedule. So that is also vanaprastha, where you dedicate more and more of your time in preaching Krishna consciousness and less time towards family things. The family build-up can happen during grihastha life, but in vanaprastha life, the family sort of thing goes down and the spiritual responsibilities go up. So not everybody needs to take sannyas, but I think everybody should endeavor for vanaprastha life. And I think we should set the example, starting with me and you, Jagannath Charan Prabhu. We can go together to the forest if you're up for it. Jai. All right, Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. I hope you got something from that class. Please do forgive me if I made any mistakes or offenses, or if I picked on Paramakaruna Prabhu too much. But do we have any questions? We have about 5 or 10 minutes. Yes, Prabhu. Do we have a microphone or somebody? Here. Oliver.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned when serving the devotees, you've got to be ready to do what they tell you to do.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that. I feel like I know better.
Yeah.
And I want to get to Krishna by my own endeavours.
Yeah.
So how do I overcome this mentality?
I think we do need to understand that we know a lot of things, but we don't know everything. We're here to learn. And so the idea is, unless you learn from somebody who knows a bit more, it'll be difficult for us to make progress. You can make progress with your own endeavors. Don't get me wrong, okay? You can make some progress. But ultimately, you're depriving yourself of all the knowledge and all the service attitude and all the progress you could make, all the things you could learn by association and service. A lot of things you learn by service, you don't really learn by your own endeavor. There was a story of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj when somebody who was a big, I think he had a very respectable post in the government or something, he came to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and he wanted to discuss philosophy. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was busy at the same time. And he said, just take him and get him to wash the pots. I'll speak to him later. And then they were like, but Maharaj, he's like, yeah, it doesn't matter, just get him to wash the pots. And he was washing. He said, no, I'll do it. And then he washed the pots. And then he was washing pots for like 3 hours. And then he came and he said, I understood. I don't have any more questions. And then he left. The idea is that we learn a lot more by service than we do through the books. We learn a lot more from association and from senior devotees than we do by learning the books. If you read a book, you'll just pick what you want. You'll just take the things you like. But if you learn from devotees, then you learn the things you don't want to learn, but you need to learn in order to progress. Prabhupada was sitting at his desk, and then there was a guest who had come to talk to him, and he said, Swamiji, he said, why do we need a guru? Why can't I learn just from the books? And then Prabhupada said, come here, I'll tell you. And then he came closer and he said, come closer. And he bent over his desk and Srila Prabhupada caught his ear and pulled it. And he said, because a book can't do this. Okay. So we learn from devotees and through service a lot more than we learn from books and our own endeavor. That's the best I can tell you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Any other questions? Anybody? Jagannath Charan Prabhu, yes.
Prabhu, thank you for the class. You mentioned this point about Lord Chaitanya's technique of making preachers.
Yeah.
And you talked about this, the mathematics of what I call a preaching epidemic.
Yeah, I might have got some of that maths wrong, I just realized. But
in principle.
Okay, you know, in principle, yeah.
So can I ask how you feel, how do you make a preacher? What's your experience on that?
The thing is, you always have to encourage people to share Krishna consciousness, because actually by sharing Krishna consciousness, you learn a lot. You get the mercy if you give the mercy, okay? If you got to give more to get more. So the more you give, the more you get. I'm saying the same things over and over again. But the point is that we need to encourage people to start sharing Krishna consciousness right from the beginning. A lot of times, you know, devotees tell me, I feel so... You know what is one of the biggest fears of people distributing books? They feel that if I go out there and somebody asks me a question, I can't answer. It's, what do I tell them? I'm new to Krishna consciousness. I don't know so much philosophy. How can I distribute books? What if somebody asks me a philosophical question I can't answer? I don't know so much. But the thing is, you don't need to know so much. We need to encourage people to go out and share whatever they know. I don't think on book distribution I've used any more philosophy than what I learned in my first 3 weeks at the temple. I never discuss any philosophy on the street while discussing books, like zero. If they really want to get into it, I tell them, well, here's my number, call me, or come to a temple, we'll discuss. Or here's somebody else's number, you can discuss philosophy with them. Even if I know, I try not to get into a debate on the street. It's just, so sometimes we just need to tell people that, look, you don't need to know everything, okay? You just share what you know. And we need to inspire people that they will learn more, they'll progress more in Krishna consciousness if they share. And that sharing is important, because if someone didn't do it to you, then you wouldn't be here. We're all here because someone shared Krishna consciousness with us. And then there are so many people out there who are also waiting to be brought to the Hare Krishna movement. Srila Prabhupada said there are devotees of the Hare Krishna movement already there in every town and village, and it is the duty of the current members to just go and find them. Okay? Prabhupada said that it's the devotees of the Hare Krishna movement are already there in every town and village, but it's the duty of the current members to just go and find the future members. They're already there. Lord Chaitanya said that the Krishna consciousness movement will be spread all over the world. So it will happen. It's not like it can't happen. It will happen because it's a prediction. It will. If you don't do it, somebody else will do it. But the point is, you might as well take the credit by going out and preaching Krishna consciousness and be an instrument in fulfilling that prediction. If you don't do it, somebody else will fulfill that prediction, because it has to happen, because Lord Chaitanya said it. So, yeah. That was a bit of a waffle, but I hope you got something from that. Thank you. Any other questions? Yes, Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu. Sorry, I can't. Yeah, it is Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu. I couldn't see you because of the mask.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for today's class. I just found it very interesting that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement is based on the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
Uh-huh.
But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting Krishna, 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 hey.
Yeah.
Would you like to comment on that, please?
I can comment on it. I don't know how good it'll be. But, yeah. Did Sri Chaitanya chant Hare Krishna? Is it mentioned anywhere in the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Paramakaruna Prabhu? It is there? It's there in one place. Oh, that's good enough. Yeah, so Lord Chaitanya chanted Hare Krishna. But he also chanted the Krishna, Krishna, Krishna mantra. But I think what it is it's not just that. It's also what the acharyas in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition recommend. So we follow the tradition. So I'm sure it's there in the books recommended by the Goswamis, the Hare Krishna mantra, chanting. And that's what all the acharyas in our tradition have been doing, chanting Hare Krishna. And so we follow the guidance of the parampara that's been around from that time. When Lord Chaitanya went out on Sankirtan, especially during, you know, the whole Chandkazi thing, when everybody came together, the first huge, huge congregational chanting, I understand at that time they were chanting Hare Krishna. When they used to have Srivasangan, kirtans in Srivasangan, at that time also the kirtan was a Hare Krishna kirtan. So yes, Lord Chaitanya did chant the Krishna Krishna mantra, but he also chanted Hare Krishna, and I think that's the recommendation of the parampara, and that's what we follow. That's my understanding. Is that okay?
Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu. Any other questions? Otherwise, we call it a morning. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.